One of the reasons we're going to celebrate life tonight is because a death took place in my family just a week ago today. The death of my father. And I want to celebrate life with you tonight because life has overcome death. And in keeping with this, I'd like to have you turn to a hymn that I have loved dearly. And I'm sure my little girl here is aware that about this time Dad starts to preach, and so she curls up and goes to sleep. And I don't really mind, you know, but I do hope in time the habit gets broken. As I have thought about, let me explain the circumstances. We came up here on the boat on Monday, and problems of communication and our isolation, which is so wonderful in many ways, created a problem of getting the message here, so I didn't hear until Wednesday afternoon that my father passed away. And the funeral was Thursday afternoon, making it next to impossible to attend, so I was not able to. And in the meantime, I've had some time to think, and it has been a good time. And one thought that has come to me and stuck with me as I've thought about it is that life is such a good gift that God intends that it should never end. Now, to me, that is a radical statement in a world that moves so often toward death. And in lives that move so often toward death, that it is said of your life, that it is such a good gift that God intends that it should never end. During the week, it's strange what I suppose comes to you and what is emphasized in your own mind. But for some reason, I thought again and again of the words that I have spoken so many times over the graves of those who, for whom I've had the privilege of conducting a funeral and speaking of life. But when I've stood at a grave and said, "Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return, and Jesus Christ our Savior shall at the latter day raise thee from the dead." Those words have come back to me again and again. When it says, "Dust thou art," and I think of my father. Dad was 83 years old when he died, a good many years. And yet, life really is always so fragile, isn't it? How close to dust we really are. There is nothing unique in the makeup of the human body as far as the materials of the world are concerned. But by some strange gift of creation, God chooses that out of the stuff of this earth, He will create a life like yours and mine. Whether it be for 8 years or 40 or for 83, out of the dust of the earth. And it is a wonder to me as I constantly think about this, again and again think about it, this kinship that I have with this earth on which we walk. Taking seriously the words of that which is spoken at the grave, "Dust thou art." And I think many times how much better off we would be if we would keep it in mind. "Dust thou art." I've thought also about that life that God gave to my father, the person who lived, was dust and yet given the gift of life, made of the stuff of this world, but given the gift of life. I suspect that, at least by the standards that the world uses, my father would not be thought of as a success. Certainly not by the children he begat. But I remember one time we lived on a farm, in several farms. In fact, we never did own our own place. We always lived on as renters or tenants. We'd live in one place for a year and another place for 2 years and so on. 2 years was really quite a long time. Felt very settled being in a place 2 years. But I remember in this one place, there were, I suppose, 400 or 500 families involved in having children go to school in this place, in this town. And there were two jobs that were going to be given to students, to the two in the poorest families. And you had to establish that you were the poorest families. And we did it. Hands down. And so that in a lot of these things, my father would not be considered a success. But I consider him a success, mainly because he gave to me the awareness that this gift of life is so good. I can't think of anything that he could have given me that would be greater, because this came with the gift of a trust, a confidence, the God who had created and given life and redeemed. But with it, there was not the thing that sometimes comes, I think, in Christian context, and that is kind of a rejection. You know, we sang this hymn about Jerusalem, my happy home, not because I see it as being so different, but I see it as a fulfillment of what is now. And sometimes it seems to me that there is kind of a rejection of this life in the teaching of the church, in the Christian home. Well, my father never did this, and I'm forever grateful to him for it, because he taught me to love this gift of life, to cherish it, to know it as a good gift, a precious gift. Then the word says, to dust thou shalt return. One day it happens. We die. And there is a hurt in death, and it is silly to try to ignore it. I am very impatient and very unhappy with people who try to ignore the hurt of death. There is a hurt of separation. I, for example, will very much miss going back to Minneapolis and not being able to see my father. And yet, there is still, in spite of this hurt itself deepens that which I look forward to, that life that is eternal. So that it is a separation, but it is a separation that reminds me of reunion always. It is a separation that instills an anticipation in my heart. It is a separation that says, for now. And in a sense, there is something of, I can understand of my anticipation of the whole of eternal life and presence with Christ in my anticipation of a reunion with my Father. So that the separation becomes not something that weighs as a heavy burden, but the separation becomes something that, in its own strange way, builds the joy and the hope and the anticipation of that great day. As I was thinking about this, one of the advantages of not having wealth is that you don't have problems settling the estate. I know I was thinking this today, really. You can't really fight too much over about $50, you know, $100. But I was thinking of some of the things that I would like to have that in this interim, in this time of separation, would be these joyful reminders of our life together. You know, two things that I thought about? Well, one is the coffee pot, because this is what we always gathered around. Of course, I don't suppose people who are not Norwegian can appreciate that. But it was there that we always came, and the coffee was always ready for us to sit down and visit. And the other thing, and if there are some of a particular stripe here in Protestantism, you're going to be horrified, but I'd like to have the rook cards. Because this reminds me so much of the fellowship we had. Because in simply the rook cards, when we'd sit down and play together, there is so much of my father's personality that I am reminded of. His sense of humor, his delight with life, his rejoicing in life itself. I'm reminded of the tricks he'd try to pull. So much of my father comes back to me as I think about them. To dust thou shalt return. There is a separation, but it is a separation that has its own way of saying, lift up your head and rejoice. That day comes. And then the final words of that service at the grave. Jesus Christ, our Savior, shall at the latter day raise thee from the dead. I find it myself that impossible to try to express what at this point in my life this means. When you have loved someone, they are gone, and this separation takes place. To know that what had been a final separation, what without Christ would have been an absolute separation, that this is canceled out. And I see my father's funeral as a celebration, not a celebration of death, but a celebration of life. And that's what it's all about in my mind. Because it ends with the delightful and joyful announcement that Jesus Christ our Savior shall at the latter day raise thee from the dead. Now, I want to conclude this in our setting by a celebration of this life. And I want you, if you will, first of all, to stand and let us repeat that confession together. Dust thou art, and so on.